Now, it doesn't help our understanding of that verse, and it can be left if it helps us to clarify. You know, we've seen that the word surpasses gifts, though everything referred to are gifts in the sense that they're given to us. Verse 7, 1 Corinthians 12, says the manifestation of the Spirit is given. So we can say that the things of the Spirit are given, but in technical classification, we have the gifts of the gift. Then we have the operations of the gift. We have the ministries and of the gift. Now, we did say last week that the cure to ignorance is teaching, where the audience are taken through the scriptures gradually to understand what we are discussing, the matter in issue. Now, the particular thing about this particular book, the book of 1 Corinthians, is that Paul, writing, said in verse 7 that they have come behind in no gift, referring to that church, waiting the coming of the Lord Jesus, that this church was not behind in any gift of God. But then he goes further in chapter 3 to say to them that, brethren, I couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual. Now, that's interesting, as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Said, for hitherto I have fed you with milk and not with meat, strong meat. He said, because you were yet carnal, so you are not able to bear them, neither are you now able. Interestingly. So, this material, that's the book of 1 Corinthians, will let us see the issues that are discussed in this material are fundamentally issues that deal with people growing up in the faith. Firstly, in chapter 1, he deals with the issue of division, where people couldn't understand who exactly saved them. He had to tell them that I know Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. That's in verse 17. And then it goes on to talk about how the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish, and how God has chosen to save the unbelieving, verse 21, through preaching. He handles the issue of, you know, their division, which he borders on in chapter 3 as well. Chapter 2 talks about the mode of communication and so on and so forth. So you see that it deals with very immature matters. In chapter 4, again, judgment, how to judge, XYZ. Chapter 5, again, it goes into that brother who had his father's wife, and then people just left him. They didn't know what to do with him. And he told them that, and they were eating with him, acting like it was normal. He said they should judge the brother. In verse 5 and verse 6, he said he delivered the man for destruction of his flesh, and so on and so forth. In chapter 6, it deals with how this church had to take brethren to the court. That is, they took brethren to the police, to before the court of law, and so on and so forth. And he had to tell them, look, you guys don't know that you're going to judge angels. How would you in the world? You are judging the world, and you are taking the smallest of matters before the world. In chapter 7, he has to answer the issue of marriage. And chapter 8, food offered to idols. In chapter 9, you know, the issue of giving. How many of them were not, you know, exactly committed financially to the work of ministry. In chapter 10, it deals with, chapter 10 is an extracted material, but I will let it be. For this purpose of this teaching, chapter 10 is actually a previous epistle he had written to them, but it was a relevant material, short, so it was harder to 1 Corinthians. I've taught you that before. Chapter 11, that's why chapter 10 seems to repeat chapter 8, because chapter 8 deals with food offered to idols. Chapter 10 says the same thing. You wonder, was he repeating it? No, it was a previous epistle that he had written to them. Chapter 11 now deals with passion and then eating the Lord's Supper, which he now went ahead to use the Lord's Supper, which is love feast, to explain to them the concept of the Passover that we call communion today. But by chapter 13, it talks about love. I mean, chapter 12, pardon me, talks about now concerning the things of the Spirit. Why would he say that? Prior to that time, what was he discussing? Food, water? That's what he was discussing. But by chapter 12, verse 1, it now begins to talk to them as men born of the Spirit. Now, concerning the things of the Spirit, I would not have you ignorant. Again, if you look at the teaching there, it was still not meat, because it goes ahead to use parable explanations to them, began to pose questions to them. If you speak into the air, will they not? You know, that's the way to talk to people who are growing up. So what we call 1 Corinthians is actually milk to meat. That is a diet that is just like you're weaning a child, W-E-A-N-I-N-G. You know, you're trying to let the child feed on stuff, you know, strong stuff. But you see, there's a difference between 1 Corinthians and then 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians goes to the heart of the matter. It deals with very, very crucial things, you know, that you know, we can't discuss here exactly. So that material is to, you know, help people develop, but it's not exactly material. And today, it's not exactly material for mature people. And today, in the church world, interestingly, those are still the issues we're dealing with. In fact, if you look at the church world, we're dealing with those basic things. How should we give? What should we give? Marriage, judgment of believers. Are we different from the world? And X, Y, Z. So, you know, it's a material that really helps us see the importance of teaching. So it says, I would not have you ignorant. That is, I will teach you. So if people cannot bear things of the Spirit, it's not because they are not born of the Spirit. You will need to help them understand it by the Word. So in teaching, that in teaching in the Scriptures is not, you know, in the world today, if you say you want to teach, it could just be you're passing across knowledge. But in the Bible, when you teach, is to exegete. To exegete, exegesis. It means to compare Scriptures with Scriptures. To put Scriptures together, side by side, and get an understanding. So that's what Paul has done here for us. And he says, I would not have you ignorant, chapter 12, verse 1. So he begins to discuss, and we'll just go over some things we've learned already. In verse 4, it says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 5, there are different administrations, but the same Lord. Verse 6 says, there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God that walketh all in all. Praise the Lord. Now it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit from. So everyone who is born again has the manifestation of the Spirit. John 14:16, I'll send you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. That's the manifestation. Acts 2:17. From Joel 2:28, I'll pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, your sons and daughters, shall prophesy after the manifestation of the Spirit. Ezekiel 36:26-27, I will put my Spirit within you. That is the manifestation of the Spirit. Amen. Amen. Romans 8:9, you have the Spirit of God, you have the Spirit of Christ, one and the same. Romans 8:14, Romans 8:15, Romans 8:16. That's the manifestation of the Spirit. Now, in that manifestation, we have gifts of the Spirit. In that manifestation, we have ministries. In that manifestation, we have operations. And that's what we have been teaching for 2 years plus now, right? Huh? Excellent. If you cut us in the middle, this can't be the middle. If you cut us at this point, you need to go back some 2 years to understand how far we have come. But you can get something if you're born of God. Anyway. So, in doing this, he discusses 9 things. 1, he discusses tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. He discusses word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. Then he discusses gift of faith, workings of miracles, and gifts of healing. From verse 8 to verse 10. And verse 11 says, and all this worketh the one and self-same Spirit, divides every man severally as he will. Now, Howard Carter, whom I respect, Assemblies of God minister, with a couple of other people, helped us to see that there are 3 classifications in there, and it's not, we can just allow that. The utterance gifts, the revelation gifts, and the power gifts. The utterance gifts are those who deal with speaking, Then the revelation gifts are those who deal with perception, knowledge. Last one are the power gifts, they deal with action. Now, let's do a little opinion of the scriptures about utterance gifts. Now, utterance gifts can be seen through the gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy explains the utterance gifts to us. When you look at the revelation gift, discerning of spirits explains the revelation gift to us. When we look at the power gift, miracles explain the power gift to us. So we want to learn a little bit from prophecy. Now, a very important principle in the... Now, before we go there, whenever you're looking at the Bible, now, there's another classification you will see in 1 Corinthians 2. The same book. Paul says in verse 1, when I came to you, I came not in the excellence of speech or wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. Then in verse 2 he says, I determined not to know anything among you, save Christ and Him crucified. I came with weakness and in trembling, you know. And in verse 4, he says, my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and power. Now, demonstration of the Spirit, if you look at the Bible, where you have the Spirit, deals with utterance and revelation. When in Acts 11, Agabus signified by the Spirit that there will be a drought in all the world by the Spirit. The Old Testament prophets prophesied by the Spirit. And you will see that that has to do with utterance and revelation. Now, power will be the three, the power gifts. Now, something peculiar with utterance gifts is this. Utterance gifts work as we keep talking. They deal with keep talking. The utterance gifts, the three. What are the three utterance gifts? Tongues. Interpretation of tongues. Always don't forget. Interpretation of tongues. And then, prophecy. How do we know? Ephesians 5:18. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself. The psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. See? Be filled with the Spirit. Acts 2:1-4. The way of when the Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place, in one accord. And there came from heaven a sound of a mighty rushing wind, filled all the house where we were seated. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like a fire, and they were all filled with the Spirit, and began to what? To speak. Now, you discover that that was at 6 a.m., but 9 a.m., Peter, they were still speaking, and by 9 a.m., prophecy was there, praise God. Interpretation was there. That's why Peter said, this is that, spoken by the prophet as Joel, in the last days I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, your sons and daughters shall speak in tongues. Huh? Shall what? What prophesy? Tongues plus interpretation, 1 Corinthians 14 verse 4 and 5. So, that shows us, and they began to speak, that shows us that the utterance gifts are effective as long as we keep speaking. So if I want to function in the utterance gift, I will speak. And somebody we know functioned in the utterance gift was Paul. Paul functioned in the utterance gift a lot. Now, what was about Paul? 1 Corinthians 14:18, I thank my God, I speak more than you all. So Paul spoke. If I say I speak more than you, that means I speak a lot. I speak in tongues more than you all. So the utterance gifts work with continual speaking. Continual speaking. If I want to prophesy more than I have been before, if I want to interpret tongues more than I've been before, I will speak more. And the primary way is to speak much more in tongues. Because in Mark 16:17, Jesus said they will speak in new tongues. He didn't tell us how long. He said he will speak. Speaking is part of man. Man is a speaking spirit. They will speak in tongues. So, the key thing about the utterance gift, I must keep speaking. I must keep speaking. And good enough, Jude tells us in Jude 20, he says, beloved, build up yourself on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. See that? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all supplication in prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So, if we speak much more, we'll have the utterance gift in operation. When I see people tell me they don't interpret their tongues, one thing I've learned over the years by experience, and I also know by the word anyway, is that they don't speak in tongues enough. You see, if you speak in tongues well enough, you would have spoken the interpretation at one point. Because the utterance gift deals with speaking. You speak much. In Acts 2, they spoke much in tongues and prophecy came. That's the same thing. You speak much in tongues. Speak much in tongues. So, the utterance gifts deal with speaking. Let me tell you what I mean. You must be talkative. I didn't say a talkative. I said you must be talkative in the spirit. You must be talkative. You must keep talking. You must keep talking. Just like Paul. That's how to function much more in the utterance gift. Some of us are just good where we have special meetings. That's where you can prophesy and do all that. But it goes beyond that. Secondly, we look at the revelation gift. What's the key activity for the revelation gift? For the utterance gift, the key activity to keep what? Keep speaking. For the revelation gift, let's watch it. For the revelation gifts are to see and then to hear and perceive by the Spirit. And after the gifts there that helps us understand the rest. Which one? Huh? Now, how do you discern something? You pay attention. Revelation gift work when we listen. When we pay attention. When we pay attention. You know why most of us, the greatest revelations we have in life are dreams? Because that's when we're quiet. Praise God. That's when we're quiet. God's been trying to get across you during the day. Or you are watching television. Or you are busy with friends, enjoying Jesus, but he knows at night, at least you're tired. All the energy is gone. You're not jogging, watching nothing, so you're sleeping. So, it comes to the baby Christian, I say that, it comes to the Christian, sorry for saying that, then shows you something. Because, you know, Joseph, Joseph was busy getting annoyed with Mary. How can she? She? How can she? She claimed she was a virgin. She told me I was the first guy that even ever toasted her, talk less of going out with her. Was so angry. But because, you know, Joseph was a, what do you call it? An introvert. Not spiritually. He decided not to tell anybody. So, the day he was sleeping, God said, hey guy, hey, it's my child, okay? And you don't fight over God's child. It's my child, right? He's still wondering who's talking to you. Go read your Bible. If you had read your Bible, you would have seen Isaiah 7:14. Isaiah 9:7. So you say, alright, gee. For you know that the guy is such an introvert. When God was about to take, you know, Jesus out of Jerusalem again to Egypt, was a dream. So, Revelation gives work when you're quiet. Peter, when he was quiet. When he went up, Acts 10, and then he slept. Or he fell into a trance, and God spoke to him. For you to know it wasn't something he was necessarily paying attention to, he got up this stuff. So, Revelation gives work when we listen. Listen to our spirit. That's the same thing with the inward witness. Hello? Are you with me? Inward witness. You have to listen. If I'm talking to you now, if I'm talking to you and you're putting on an earphone, you know you can hear me? Do I'm talking? If I'm showing you something, and I say, see, it's a blackberry bowl I'm giving to you. And then you say, now I'm showing you, but you're not seeing it because you're not paying attention. So when it comes to revelation gifts, it's to pay attention. Just the same way with the word. You know, the word of God, when it's taught to us, revelation, if you're not paying attention, you cannot understand what we're teaching. Same thing. So when it comes to revelation gifts, the key word is to discern, to pay attention. Some of us are too quick in the Holy Ghost meetings. You want to jump out to talk. You know, listen to your spirit. Praise God. Listen to your spirit. So now as a pastor, never times I got where I set out to teach something and I got to church. And I just says, no, today you drop your notes, you follow my leading this morning. This is what you're going to do. That's just it. Just listen. Years ago, I had my style of ministering to people. Of course, I asked them to stay then, you know, lay hands on them, and so on and so forth. I told you that before. And I just said, God, tell me, don't lay hands on anybody's head today. Huh? That's my style. I got to know what's contrary to the belief of that church. Something like that, just like that. That God, and I'm used to, see, I've come down from this place already. I've been like that for years. But that day I just sent, do not leave the pulpit. Wow, that looked like bondage. Because I learned to teach. I mean, sorry, I'm not saying teaching. I mean, I learned the drama of teaching through Fred Price. Dr. Fred Price. And he always goes around. So I'd always seen teaching as going around. So it's not a spiritual thing. It's just something I picked up as a habit when I was younger. That way I think just go around, touch people, you know, move around. Brother Higgins taught like that too. I thought it would be strange for you when your pastor's moving around church. Why is he? Can't he stay in one place? Yeah. So that day, Lord just said to me, he said, do not move around in the service. Don't move around. And I didn't. You know, and I just got to know that the pastor has just preached and said, you know, these young preachers, they're always jumping all over the place. They're always jumping, you know. My God, that would have been so bad. Imagine getting to the service and going around the very first meeting, you just have been discouraged. New generation preacher. Anyways, for such churches, it takes you 3 days of seminar to tell them that you're a man of God. So, in Revelation gives you listen. Listen. Listen to the spirit within. Amen. Listen to the spirit within. Sometimes the voice could be as loud as I'm speaking now, but it's not all the time. So when it comes to the revelation, gives the key word is to pay attention. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you still in church? I'll tell you something again. Also, it's to be aware. For instance, if you are in church, if you're in church, there is I've always told you this, the greatest, I use the word anointing loosely now, the strongest anointing is in church services. It's not in the field. I taught you that. We've seen it in this series before. The greatest anointing. Because that's the anointing that develops your giftings. Now, if you're in the service, you've got to be aware. Spirit beings and spiritual faculties and spiritual activities need your attention. You know, Hebrews 13:1 says, let brotherly love continue. It says, some have entertained angels, how? Unawares. So, what are angels? Angels are spirits. So, you can actually have spirit beings around you and spiritual activities and you're unaware. I ever seen somebody beside you sees a vision, someone else, and you are just there as dry as Amatan winds. You're just like, mean is that same service? Yeah, it was that service. You were just silly. Okay? You were just silly. So, we just have to be aware. And how do you get aware? When the pastor or the minister in charge gives an instruction, you're aware of that. So when it comes to the revelation, gives the key word is consciousness. You've got to be conscious. You've got to pay attention. Now, we are dealing with the power gifts, and we are looking at the gifts of healing. And the gifts of healing, now I'll talk about the power gifts, they are active. The power gifts are active with nature. They deal with nature. The power gifts, as we're going to see in a moment, are resident in us. But you see, they are active outside us. They are active outside us. You will see in a moment that the power gifts work more with what happens around us than what happens within us. If I don't explain this service, I'll explain it later. That particular phrase I use now. It's just to explain. Now, the power gifts are active with nature. They deal with nature. They deal with water, sand, fire, snakes, animals, lions, bears. They deal with the physical body, kidneys, hearts. Oh, heart is better. Can't have more than one, right? Heart. The air is scratching this. You know, I've had people's ear grow before. 1994, 1995, 1996. I ministered to people and their ears grew out. Praise God. You know, we're not about to do that kind of service here. I just said to you. It's not impossible. Okay? So, the power gives deal with nature, natural things, cars, houses, mountains, things like that. They deal with nature. They interact with nature. They influence natural circumstances. That's what power gives do. So, we'll take we've been looking at that, so I'm just going to say something that I've said before. So, the power gives, because they deal with nature, nature responds to what? Stimuli. Responds to touch. Responds to activity. There's this Newton's law of motion. The very first law. I think it's been disproved. Is it still in force? Is it still there? Are you sure? Which one was now disproved? Huh? Huh? Atomic theory. Okay. What's the first law of motion? Every will remain until some folks did not pass physics here. I just saw that now. Let's go over it again. Huh? I know the law. Everyone? You know the law of inertia? You know it? Let's go again. Everyone? This is important. Everyone? Every spiritual, say what? Every, yes, Allah, what did he say? He said particle. Oh Lord, everyone. Huh? Or a body, okay? An object, okay? In a, uh-huh. Okay, good. Except what? So nature functions by force, right? Something has to do. Something has to move it. Something has to change it. Nature reacts to force. Things will remain the same. You will remain sick. That's what it's. You remain sick. It'll just be in the same position, except there's an external force. Now that's what nature does. That's what deals with nature. Now, and that's how the power gives work. Now Moses, God gave Moses a rod. You know why? Because Moses was a man of the flesh. He gave him a rod. And Moses used the rod throughout. Now, have you ever discovered that when it got to Joshua, Joshua used words more than Moses did? You check that. That's another day anyway. So Moses had the rod, and God says to him, hey, drop the rod, Exodus 3 and 4. Rod became a serpent. Pick it up again. Came the rod of God in his hand. He said, go. That will be a sign and a symbol to Pharaoh. So there he goes. All his activities were with the rod. In the Red Sea, what did he do? God said, stretch it over the sea. Over. Why? Because that's power. Why did he say, Moses, speak to your rod? He said, stretch it over. Why? Look at all the plagues. Moses had to use a rod. Because the power gears work with touch. They work with touch. Something's going to be touched. Something's going to be, there has to be contact with the power gears. There has to be contact. So the rod represented power to Moses. He had to use the rod to make contact all the time. So, in the power gifts, which we're going to learn about gifts of healing, we will see that the gifts of healing, as we have been seeing, the gifts of healing works with touch. Now, those touch doesn't necessarily have to be touch. You said the touch can be words, objects, and so on and so forth. We're still looking at that anyway. Now, look at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 9. Something you have to notice here. Look at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 9. Then look at verse 28. And look at verse 30. And tell me the difference. 1 Corinthians 12, 9, 28 and 30. Tell me the difference. What is the difference? Any difference? What's it? Singular? Which one is singular? Verse 9 is singular. Verse 28? Verse 30? Single. Why? 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 Three times we hear about the gifts of healing. Once is plural, two times is singular. Why? No idea. When is healing used in plural in the Bible? Different sicknesses. Or different people getting healed. Okay, since you're not thinking. Huh? Healings used for different ones? Sicknesses. You mean there are different healings for different sicknesses? Huh? Different powers for different sicknesses. So if it's malaria, the power of God will go like, woo-hoo! If it's ulcers, go, if it's heart disease, it goes. when is healing used in plural? Is it for number of people that got healed, or the number, or the different sicknesses that got healed? Why are you whispering that? Speak and thy servant hear. Alright, leave that for you to think about. Let's go. So, the gifts of healing remain the only gift mentioned from verse 8 to 10 that gifts were repeated again. Why were gifts repeated again? They use the word charisma. And why were gifts used again for gifts of healing in verse 9? That shows you, just like we have learned, that it's a residual gift. It's a residual power. You know, this song we sing, as we worship in your presence, there is healing. Oh, now, make sure you sing it in healing meetings, because the healing meetings is what the people respond to that happens. Okay? So in healing meetings and, what we call Holy Ghost meetings, we sing a lot of songs. You know, just for people to make sure that they receive at least, just be healed, you know. Whether it's by speech or saliva, just be healed. It doesn't matter how you go healed, just make sure you don't go back to the doctor, alright? So we now come back and teach you doctrine later, but while I teach you doctrine and you die, you know, it's not good to learn it in heaven, alright? You get what I'm saying? You still don't get it? Try and get it tomorrow. So, the Holy Spirit gentle touch. It's alright, you just make sure you're singing. It's flowing. She looks more like you are the Red Sea. Jesus, we believe. Jesus, there's healing in your name. Almighty Father. Almighty what? Almighty Father. Is that in the New Testament? It's alright. Almighty Father. That means Father is not enough. Almighty is not enough. You have to put two together. Almighty Father, I've forgotten the song. We lift our hands to you. Then we receive the power. Where I go to Jerusalem. To heal as you will do. Thank you last Sunday. And this Sunday we'll sing it again. That means we use all the power. We check the reservoir. There is, it's gone. The power is low. This one cannot even heal a wound. A wound on the tongue. So we need more power. We receive the power. Alright. The gifts of healings are resident power. Residual power. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. Is that correct? Huh? With the Holy Ghost and with power. With the Holy Ghost and with power. He was anointed with the Holy Ghost and then with power went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So that means the healing is healing power. Healing happens not by the Holy Ghost, but by power given by the Holy Ghost. Power is given by the Holy Ghost. Healing happens when we walk in power. When we walk in power. Why do they use power for Jesus? Because power is tangible. Power is what? Tangible. Power is, you just said that, is a force. It's felt. You touch it. You hear it. You see it. You have it happen right before your eyes. So, we can call the gifts of healing the gifts of the gifts. For you to know that it was emphasized again in verse 28, gifts. Verse 30, gifts. But you know the interesting part? When it goes to 31, it says covet earnestly the best gifts. So it calls gifts there, but it now still calls gifts of healing, gifts of healing. Praise God. Do you understand that? He used gifts for a compound word of everything he mentioned, but he now says calls the gifts of healing the gifts of healing. Amen. The gifts of healing therefore will refer to that residual ability to heal the sick. Now let's learn something from Mark 5 again. Let's go back to Mark 5. Something to learn in there. Mark 5 shows you how the healing power works. So the gift of healing will go. I'll give you a definition. What's that definition? The gift of healing and what? You lost it. Huh? Not today. I gave you that 2 months ago. What's it? You're looking like you need healing. Mark 5. Look at the key words there. She heard. So what people hear about the gifts of God, particularly the minister, matters a lot. What they hear. That's why a couple of people like to talk about, you know, it's also good before a healing crusade for you to show your clips, the clips of the previous meetings. People see, oh wow, this happened in our meetings. This happened here. I remember when we went to for a meeting one time, and then that night over 250 people got healed. And they just said, there's a woman somewhere that should be healed. Because they had told the woman that so and so thing happened last night. So that helped her to receive. So she heard of Jesus. She heard. That's why some of you, there's some preachers you don't like that doctrine. But some folks like the healing. So they get healed in spite of what you don't like about their doctrine. Because what they heard is not the doctrine. They're not important. They're not particular about the doctrine. They're particular about the healing. So it's what you hear. She heard. Okay, what else? She went. She said. We'll see that later. Then she touched the hem of his garment. Then she felt in our body. Because healing is tangible. The fount of the blood dried up. That means she knew it. Wow! It's gone! Praise God. And that's how you know the difference when some folks get healed by the gift of faith. We'll see that later. Amen. By the gift of faith. They get healed by the gift of faith. But if it's the gift of healing and that's the healing power, you will know right there, wow, I'm healed. I'm healed. Gone. She knew it. So she touched, she felt, and then Jesus did not feel. Jesus knew. So don't ever feel with it. I'm going to show you something, woman. With the gifts of healing, you'll just be feeling healing all over your body. Now, I know there are instances where somehow some of us feel the sickness of people almost in our bodies. I've never seen that before. That you just felt that way. Now, it's actually not a physical feeling that you had. It's a revelation that you had. Okay? If the doctor had checked you at that point, and I've seen sickness, that means you're actually sick. Alright? But if you've felt it, you know, I've had times before that I was praying for people to be saved, to have people send them, to have preachers being sent to them, and I felt like I needed mercy from God. And I felt like, wow. I felt like I needed to be in God's presence, that I wasn't righteous. I don't know if I felt like that before. Praying for people. Just identified with them. Like, oh. That means you're praying out the will of God. See. So sometimes you feel like that way, but it's not your body that is feeling it. It's actually your spirit picking up impressions for you to know what you're ministering to today. Praise the Lord. Let me see how important I'm saying. You get it? Good. So, Jesus knew the power had gone out of his body. He knew. How did he know? He knew by the Spirit. He knew by the Spirit. That's why some pastors will say, have you seen Pastor Chris? He'll tell you this. Someone just got healed of, and he said, power God just, and he actually just knows. I've listened like that severally before. Or Ben Hinn, or, you know, just say, somebody, they just sense it. They just know. It's not that they felt power come out of their body, you know. No, because it's not that kind of way. The power is felt out. It's not felt within you. You just know it's working out of you. That's how you know. So Jesus knew that virtue had left him. So he works with touch, feelings, and all that. Now, laying of hands is a very common way to minister the healing power. Mark 16, you lay hands on the sick, and the sick should recover. Verse 18. You lay hands on the sick, and the sick should recover. You lay hands, and that's part of what we call the Great Commission. You lay hands on the sick, and then the sick should recover. And laying on of hands is, listen to this now, this is going to help you. In Mark 6, Jesus goes to his hometown, and everybody says, hey, go, we don't want your ministry, we don't want your books, we don't want your tapes. So I didn't say tapes all that. We don't want your CDs. We don't want your books. We don't want your TV program. We don't trust your ministry. You know what? And then some folks still came. And the Bible says he couldn't do any mighty work. Couldn't do any mighty work. So can you see that? He's as anointed as he was in chapter 5. But the healing power works with response. Now, what did he do? Listen to this. He laid hands on a few sick folk. So, laying on of hands seems to be the lowest type of ministering the healing power. Almost he didn't know faith. Faith is present, but the faith is weak, and it can still receive. When you lay hands even on those who have weak faith, they can still receive. Amen. Praise God. What did Jesus do? He sent his disciples around, was himself, and he began to teach around the cities and the towns. And then later on, verse 13, he now began to anoint people with oil. Why? Because oil was medicinal in those days. So they used material mediums to communicate spiritual reality. Again, coming down to their level. So when it comes to the healing power, you've got to come down to the natural. You've got to come down to the natural. You have to reach out. So when it comes to healing power, you have to reach out and touch. That's how it works. Now in Mark 7, shown this before, Mark 7, Jesus uses another type. They brought someone to him who was born deaf and dumb. Now, and had an impediment in his speech. That means he wasn't dumb, just had an impediment in his speech. Now, most of the time, pay attention to this, if someone is deaf and dumb, if you look at the Bible, there's a demon involved in there. So, it's always good to deal with the demon first. Now, when you cast out a demon, that's workings of miracles and the gift of faith. You cast out the demon, then you lay hands on the sick. What did he do here? He put his hand upon him. He took him aside. They actually wanted to lay hands. He didn't lay hands. He put his fingers in his ears and he spit and touched his tongue. Looking up to heaven on his side and said, Ephata, that is, be open. And straight away his ears were open, the string of his tongue was loose, and he spoke plainly. He taught. It worked by touch. He kept touching. He kept touching. Now, I'll give you a small illustration, explanation now. Now, you know, gifts of healing also works with words. Words going out. Matthew 8, remember? That centurion, he said, speak your word only, and your servant will be healed. Though where we go further, you will see the gifts of faith working in there also. Speak your word only, and your servant will be healed. Jesus said in verse 10, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. No, not in Israel. So, faith or great faith in that context works with the words, the receiving by the words of the recipient. Same thing in the Mark 5 illustration we saw. The other person is that Luke 5, remember that Luke 5? He saw their faith. Those folks that came through the roof, he saw their faith. He said, take up your bed and walk, your sins are forgiven. So, there's the action of the recipient is the faith to receive. But, listen to this. When the recipient are weak in faith, or they have unbelief, then the gift of faith will come into operation. That is, the gift of faith is when you minister faith to receive to your heirs. Someone who is possessed of demons now has no faith to cast out the demon, because the demon is there already. You minister by the gift of faith for that person to have the demon driven out of his body. When we get the gift of faith, we'll see that. So, in John 9, he spat and put clay, and he put it in the guy's eyes, and the guy began to see. In Acts 3, they touched the cripple, and he said, you know, silver and gold have we not, such as we have to give thee in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And they touched him, and they, you know, lifted him up, and his ankle bone is his strength. So, it works with touch. Don't forget that. Why would he walk with touch? Because the power is resident. The power is resident. Power of God is resident. Amen. Amen. Say, the power of God is resident in me. Say it again. The power of God, the healing power, is resident in me and with me. That's the gift of healing. Resident with you and in you. Okay. Now listen to this. In Acts 19, now I want you to pay attention here now, because this is where a lot of us get things mixed up. Earlier on I said something. If you're a Bible teacher or a Bible student and you're listening to a teaching, let me tell you how I listen to the word. I pay attention to details. What do I mean? I listen to everything. That's why there are so many sermons I can preach again. Now, I said something earlier. I think you ought to have thought about it before I say this now. That when it comes to the healing power, it walks outside you. How does that sound? How does that sound to you? It works. It's coming from you. It's in you. But it works outside you. Now take care of this. Look at this. Acts 19:11. Listen to this. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from the Spirit, from heaven, from his body. Now, how many of you know your body has to be touched, you know? Right? Come on. Are you with me? Your body is a physical thing, is it not? Is it not? Remember a brother like that? One of the people were in the sister's house years ago. Alone. And he came back. I said, why are you going there? I said, well, so you must have a glorified body. You know, the kind of Jesus that he was walking through walls. No longer attended at all point like that. You're passing to the heavens. You're now the high priest. Amen. Stay alive. You don't give your body stress. It's a physical body. It's just as mortal as the body of a sinner. Hope you know that. You don't think so? That means, this is church. Sailor, just hold on. Out of his physical body, which walks physically, were wrought unto the sick handkerchiefs, the aprons, brought on the sheep, sorry. And the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. So from his body came the gifts of healing. Acts 28. Remember Acts 28? Where, listen to this now. Pay attention now. Ooh, this is where I'm going. In Acts 28, Paul was making fire. You know, the barbarous people showed unto us no little kindness, for they kindled the fire and received us everyone because of the first rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had got a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said, "Oh my God, this man is a murderer." And then he shook up the beast into the fire. The key word is that he felt no harm. Albeit they looked when they would have fallen, as you know, falling down dead suddenly. But after they looked a good while and they saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said, "Now yours a God." That's interesting. The murdering God. Now, observe something. Paul's hands were chained. How come the power didn't get the chains off? You know, some people think it's a Superman power. Oh yes. I got a healing power. I feel like a butterfly. You know, his healing power is working in me. Paul was chained. You know, you were Superman, you've been deceived. Remember when we were younger, one of my siblings, we were practicing how to fly. Could have stood on the double decker. Hey! We were making the target at one point. Because man is a spirit that has a body. Missed the target. There he went. Oh! Door! On the right hand. My father heard the noise. He came in. What happened? What? We're jumping. Oh. Begin to fly like a Superman. You know, some people think that the healing power is like that. You've left a healing meeting, laid hands on so many folks who were healed. You feel like walking home. You live in Ibadan, you start walking from Lagos. Why? I have the healing power. It's all over me. I can feel it. I can feel it. You actually didn't feel it. You're only feeling big. You're feeling big. You felt nothing. You only feel big. It's pride that you're feeling. So you go, I'm going to fly today. See. Watch this. In Mark 5, you observe in Mark 5, people were not falling under the power. Yeah, Jesus was just walking up with the healing power. Everybody touched him. Go, pop, power. Hey, God. This man. Don't touch him. Don't touch me. No. Only one room and touch and receive power. Some folks were trying to pull his shirt. Nothing happened. Amen. Have you observed that Jesus had the healing power and he was hungry? You thought with the healing power, you won't be hungry. You just be, every time you're hungry, power will just come. With all this power. The power that divided the Red Sea in me. Yes, I agree, brother. Go ahead. The power, you're going to say, the creator of the world. He's in me. Oh, yes. Glory. Our God anointed Jesus Nazareth. Have the Holy Ghost with power. But he was hungry. That means it was, nature doesn't cease because you've got the healing power. He was also thirsty. I mean, not spiritually thirsty. Naturally thirsty. He drank water. You know, he was always so, he dozed off. You have the healing power. Say, I can't imagine this man slept off. He did. He didn't just sleep. He slept in a way that the wind did not wake him up. That's serious sleep. He didn't wake him. They said, Master, care so that we perish. Not you and I, but we. He slept. Having the healing power does not change natural things for you. You know, you can have a serious healing meeting, and all the people, you laid hands on so many people. I remember one time, I had a healing crusade, and I laid hands on a lot of people. I can't count them, but I think it was like 500 people. The next day, I need someone to lay hands on me too. It's not easy to lay hands on. And some people say, sir, my problem is, you're trying to lay hands fast, sir, my problem is very special. So you wait there for a few minutes. You say, yes, sir. And then you lay hands. And then 500 or 800. Some folks are very wicked in the church. You're going back to the car. I want to see you, sir. You feel like saying, Allah, must have after me. See, what is this? This man with all this power, he doesn't get tired. I always tell preachers, this is for Bible school, but you need to learn it. You're most vulnerable when you have your greatest meeting. Because you're going to be physically vulnerable. Amen. Your greatest meeting, you just taught me the power fail. You're most vulnerable. That's when you can commit sin. That's where we can fall down. That's where you can be proud. Because the power wasn't to change you. Amen. Why are you all quiet there? I said amen. Okay? I think everybody's now a student. I think that's the problem. It's alright. You know, you can have the healing power and then you can be ill. After the great crusade, he just went fasting. You know, some folks say, after we got healed and you thank God for it, they say, it's not me. And you told them in the crusade, it's not me. It's the power of God. They say, you want more, and you go fasting. You are greedy. You go fasting after 6 days of revival. You laid hands on someone, you preach, you taught, you led prayer meeting. Then the seventh day, you say, I'm going to pray tongues in the next day. I tell you, interpret it in heaven. Heaven will hear you clearly without interpretation. Hey, rest. Amen. When your pastor finished preaching on Sunday, 2 services, 3 services, he'll say, I want you to see you, sir. I hope it is short. I don't know how much time you have, sir. You're a wicked person. You're very wicked. Because you can't fall ill. You know what? And you still got the healing. You'll be so surprised that you are having malaria all over you and you lay hands on someone. Your body is hot. They think it's the power of God. And they get healed. I'm telling you. I know. I'm speaking from personal experience. You know, folks are like, after the healing meeting and folks are healed, you come and meet after and say, sir, please, lay hands on me. And you feel like God. Most of them were that I just speak in tongues. Because I got no utterance again. I just say, you're blessed. You're blessed. Amen. God bless you. Say, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. And he's feeling, wow, you're feeling. You know, because you can fall ill with the healing power. You know, after Acts 3, Peter was arrested. The crippled man just walked. I thought when the soldiers came, he just go, Peter! And he just like Batman, Spider-Man. My God, they arrested the guy. Amen? You know, after he left in Acts 5, in Acts 12, when he was delivered from the prison, you know, he didn't wait. You know what I'm saying? I got the power. He didn't wait. He left the city. So I waited. The same God who took me out of his prison, he would deliver me. He walked straight to the police people. Ah, my God. You have been silly. You have been silly, alright? Very stupid. Now that's where you need the revelation gifts. Quickly. Alright. Peter was, Paul in Acts 14, he just said, he proceeded, prayed, the man had faith to be healed. And someone was healed. And they were worshiping and they were, oh, this, What he did was so spectacular. You know what they did? They offered sacrifices. This is Jupiter. And they were for him and Barnabas. No, we didn't see Barnabas later, but they'll talk about that later. So, this is Jupiter. And they were practically worshipping him. What happened next? They stoned him to death. Where was the power? Within. Why did the stones not stop? Because the power is supposed to walk without, and the stones did not want the power by faith. You think he got that? All right, you didn't get that. See? He was stoned. So, don't feel like you are on top, because, you know, healing meetings and crusades make you feel on top of the world. You know, you just feel, I know you know what I'm talking about. You just feel like, it's me. Feel good. They say, oh, how are you? I've seen some of us. You know, you had a spectacular program or meeting, and you're just quiet. All of a sudden, how are you doing now? You know what happened to you? You're vulnerable now. It's no longer power. What's wrong with you is pride. Okay? You know. It's not the power. What's it? It's the power of the flesh now, not the Holy Ghost. You know, that's the time Satan is going to come. To see all my kingdom. I give everything to you. It's alright, guys. It's alright. It's okay. In your humility, you'll take it. Amen. Praise God. So, the healing power is not for you. It's for others. Amen. It's not for you. It's for others. Well, you know, what delivered Paul in Acts 14? He just kept quiet. He's dead. You know, Paul wasn't like some folks. I should not die but live. Stop that, boy. If you have said that, you're that boy. Okay, we'll show you. Stop that, boy. The power that is going from the dead is not working in me. Who confirm that you're dead? You know, you will die. All right. So sometimes you just need to be smart. After an outreach, you know, rest, eat food, amen. You need to eat food. You know, Jairus' daughter came out from the den. He said, give her food because she can return. Oh, you know, come and give testimony. Okay, so we come and tell the world. And he goes, Jesus! You're a fake preacher. So we are able to feed, give the girl water and food immediately, or you ruin the testimony of my ministry. Let's go. So you must know that the power is for others, it's not for you. So it may not work for you. You could be falling ill, and then you lay hands on the sick and they recover. Alright? Is that clear? So you've got to get the word for yourself on that, okay? You're only a vessel. Now I'll talk about counterfeits and power. So sometimes we've seen the gift of healing counterfeited by other people, and some of us have been, you know, been a little bit withdrawn on that. And I can tell you this. If you read newspapers a lot, you read all the soft sell, they like to make the miraculous unreal. It's of the devil. You see, a counterfeit is a proof of the original. Now, you cannot have a counterfeit 2,000 naira note. It doesn't make sense. You have to have a counterfeit of 1,000 naira note or 5,000 naira note that's coming out, as they have said. You know, I had that experience years ago, 1995. I stopped laying hands on people because I just felt irritated by what I was seeing. Some folks would just lay hands on just anything. And I just stopped laying hands. You know, one day, I just had a silly headache. Very silly. It was uncalled for. And I was wondering, why? Well, this headache is nowhere new. This has nothing to do with my mistakes or something I hadn't done right in the natural. So I wondered why. The Lord told me that, why were you not laying hands on people anymore? And I said, Well, I just don't want to be numbered among those folks. You know, lay hands on people all over the place. And, you know, they are fake ties. Said, what did I ask you to do? Lay hands. You got to lay hands. And obey me. And not obey me when they are not doing it. I repented in my heart. I like to lay hands on the sick. Lay hands on people for ministry. Deal with the Holy Ghost and all that. You know what? Less than an hour, what I did, I just became well. See, we must never get intimidated by people who are doing what we're doing the wrong way. We must do what we're doing because it's in the Bible. Amen. Praise God. We must do it because it's in the Bible. Now, briefly, I want to talk about special ministries, you know, when it comes to the gift of healings. We're going to view this later. Now, Acts 19:11 says special miracles. Why do you say special miracles? Were wrought by the hands of Paul. Special miracles. 2 Corinthians 12:12, Paul talks about the signs of an apostle. Were wrought among you in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. The signs of an apostle. Everybody knows the apostle is an office. It's an office. So there are special ministries when it comes, particularly when it comes to the power gift, we're going to have special ministries. What the Charles and Francis Hunter will call divine healing technicians. I did a seminar years ago on that. DHT, divine healing technicians. There's some folks that are like that. They will just be experts. You know, it happens that some folks will have a result in one area, then some will. Special ministries. Pay attention now. I'll take our minds back to laying on of hands. Now, Mark 16 says, lay hands on the sick will recover. And then we also know that we can lay hands on people to be filled with the Holy Ghost, just like Ananias did to Saul. But listen, laying on hands has a special ministry as well. For instance, ordination, which is impartation. In 1 Timothy 4:14, 2 Timothy 1:6, the laying on hands of the apostle Paul and of the elders in 1 Timothy 4:14, Paul, 2 Timothy 1:6. He says, the gift that is in you by the laying on of hands, by the laying on of my hands, 1 Timothy 4:14, of the elders. Elders are ministry gifts. And that means that's a special operation that has to do with the office. Let's view Ananias as well. You know, Ananias laid hands on Saul. Saul was filled with the Holy Ghost, but the scales fell from his eyes. That was special. He wasn't blind. The scales fell from his eyes. That's a special ministry. In Acts 13, when Paul and Barnabas were called, I'll close here, when they were called, Bible tells us that both of them had the elders lay hands on them. And Barnabas. They had elders lay hands on them and they were sent forth in ministry. That's something special. That's special. That's not something every believer will do. I know some folks do that. They say, well, maybe, I know the universities will do that. The ESCO, the old ESCO is leaving. You know this ESCO stuff? The apostolic ESCO. ESCO is leaving, not new ESCO. They say, okay, all the ESCO will now lay hands on new ESCO. Then all sorts of hands will go on all sorts of heads. Empty, empty, empty. Umpty dumpty, sat on the wall. That's not what I'm talking about. There's a special ministry. Now I know that I function with certain special ministries, particularly when it comes to laying on of hands. I know that. When it comes to ministry gifts and those who occupy offices in the body of Christ, there's an enhancement of these ministries. Things are enhanced. Because with the ministries come the operations in special dimensions. So, the power gifts, now when you do lay on hands for impartation, obviously, is the gift of faith. When I lay hands on someone, I say from this day, so-and-so begins to walk in your life. That's the gift of faith. That's the power gift. That's a special gift. You won't just go to your cell meeting, start laying hands on from this day, try to copy your pastor from this day. The gift of the high priest begin to walk in your life. The gift of the Messiah. The gift of the curse of the Lord. You know. So there are special ministries which deal with the office. We deal with the offices. The people function with the body of Christ. That is the responsibility. Amen. Amen. So with the gifts of healing, so we're going to learn the special ministries. The gifts of healings ministered specially because of the office that the individual functions with. There's a lot to learn, amen, in the gifts of the Spirit. But the beautiful thing is this, it's all in the Word. Praise God. It's all in the Word. It's all in the Word. See, God wants the church to grow in the Word. You see, we've gotten to the height of all the funfare we do. It's just too much entertainment. Too much. Too much fun. Years ago, someone told me, he said, well, you're teaching like this because you guys are just about 20. I said, no. When we're 1,000, 1,005, 2,000, and 10,000, it's my conviction that matters, not my convenience. There's so much entertainment. And that's why a lot of Christians have not heard most of these things. Not because it's not in the Word. So you cannot have a church filled with entertainment, concerts, dance, dramas, and have a church filled with the gifts of the Spirit. There are two things that can happen. Now, you can have gifts of the Spirit in the pastor. But you see, if you want people to work in their calling, in the calling of the church, you've got to teach, practice, emphasize the Spirit. That's how it happens. And I've had to make the choice years back. What do you really want? Talents or the gifts of the Spirit? I picked my choice. The gifts of the Spirit. The power of God. What do you want? Skills or ministries? I pick ministries. What do you want? The Word or messages? I pick the Word. What do you want? Christ or other things? I pick Christ. Amen. So sometimes as a pastor, as a preacher, you have to make a choice. What do you want? So we trust God. Years and years to come, we will play a major role in influencing the church, Nigeria and Africa, to understand the things of the Spirit. We will do it. Television, radio, the internet, the crusades, the camp meetings. Gradually, just like the dough and the yeast, move from one medium to another medium. So we have a great influence. The people that come in contact with our churches, our ministries, our members, will never remain the same again. It will happen. Praise God.
Sons, you have been God praise. Thank you. God is good. God is good.